What's your general reaction to what's happened today, to the Chilcot report? I've read your very long blog. You seem pretty unrepentant.
I mean, I just think that some of the points that have been made need a broader explanation. And I think that some of the points that have been made today, I do agree with, and others I don't. And I thought that I watched Tony Blair's press conference, and I mean, I thought it was, you know, people say they want people in politics to say what they think. He's saying what he thinks. He does profoundly regret the loss of life, both to British soldiers and other soldiers and to Iraqi civilians. But he cannot resile from the view that it was the right thing to get rid of Saddam Hussein and that he'd had year upon year, resolution upon resolution to comply. And I think that, I mean, I think you're right that was just a repeat of Jeremy Corbyn's statement. But I make the point in that, apologies for the length of my blog.
It's quite a long one.
I do make the point that there's Tony Blair, who some people like to label a war criminal, who took part in getting rid of somebody who really was one of the most biggest war criminals we've ever known, with a human rights record to match any dictator on the planet. And yet, what's gone on in Syria because of non-intervention is actually, I mean, I feel we've learned the wrong lessons already. And I thought David Cameron's statement was interesting because, particularly towards the end, he was making the point that we have to be able to have intelligence services who work in very difficult situations. We have to be able to trust our military to do difficult things. But we've got to be very, very careful because there will come a point. I think this is the point that David Cameron was trying to make. There probably will come a point where a future prime minister now has to commit British troops and put them in harm's way in what has been described as this generational struggle. And I think that it's fine for Jeremy Corbyn to say, you know, the United Nations believes in peace and all this. He's basically saying we should let Vladimir Putin decide anything that happens in the world. I mean, the United Nations is not a court. It's a body of all the countries of the world. And so I don't think it was a question of being unrepentant at all. I share what Tony Blair said today in terms of the sorrow that people feel. And I mean, you know, there's not a day goes by I don't think about some of the events that I was associated with. But I think ultimately you have to say what you think, and I think that there were no easy choices. And what the Chilcot report doesn't do is actually say what the government should have done differently. It says what it thinks it did wrong. It doesn't say what
That wasn't in its remit. I should tell you that Jeremy Corbyn has just apologised on behalf of the Labour Party for what he called the disastrous decision to go to war in Iraq. What's your reaction?
Well, look, Jeremy Corbyn, frankly, can say what he wants. And also, it's very easy for him to do that, as somebody who stood up not just against the Iraq war, but pretty much anything else that the Tony Blair government tried to do. And I'm not going to get drawn on that. I think it's probably got more to do with internal Labour Party politics at the moment than the questions that John Chilcot was looking at. But I do believe that ultimately, John Chilcot, me, you, all the people who think about it, talk about it, there's only one person in these situations that really has to make the final call, and that was Tony Blair.
Do you accept that Chilcot was right when he said that there was no imminent threat from Saddam Hussein?
We didn't say there was an imminent threat. And also, people are saying that I saw Jon Snow on Channel 4, I'm talking to you later, I saw him tweeting, there's Blair hiding behind this thing about 9/11. There was no link between 9/11 and Al-Qaeda. We didn't say that. Some in the American government did say that. We've never said that. What Tony Blair said, including on the September 11th, was that the real threat that he worried about, and he still worries about it, and I think we should be worried about it, is that as this virulent form of global terrorism spreads, which is what it's done, and we can come on to the reasons of that if you like, but as it spreads, then there is a real risk of rogue failed states with access to weapons of mass destruction working either accidentally or deliberately in liaison with terrorist groups prepared to wipe us out. That remains a threat. Now, that is what he meant by when he talked about the change that 9/11 brought about and what people have called the calculus of threat.
But when Jeremy Corbyn said that policy should be fixed around intelligence rather than intelligence fixed around policy, he was right, wasn't he? And that's what you're accused of misusing the intelligence to back up your policy.
No, what I was accused of, and what Jeremy Corbyn...
I meant you collectively rather than you specifically.
Okay. Right, but forgive me if I do make this point. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn just said there that Parliament was lied to in the build-up to war. It wasn't lied to. Parliament was not lied to in the build-up to war. As John Chilcott has said, as we've accepted before, there were flaws in the intelligence. And intelligence, particularly in a dictatorship, is difficult. And, you know, okay, the criticism of Tony Blair was the fact that in the foreword to the dossier and in Parliament, he said that in his view, beyond doubt, that the settlement was continuing to develop a weapons of mass destruction programme. Now, interestingly, I thought, again, Sir John Chilcott, in his statement, obviously I haven't had time to read the whole report, but in his statement, he said that the work of the Iraq Survey Group after the fall of Saddam was very, very important. Well, it was very important. And that was the piece of work that said that Saddam's strategy was trying to break sanctions, and he was having some considerable success on that, and once that had been done, to continue with his program of development of weapons of mass destruction. Now, these are arguments that have been gone over a million times, and me saying them again to you today probably won't change anybody's opinion one way or the other. But I think it's important to emphasize these. Jeremy Corbyn's speech there is sort of saying there's a kind of perfect world, and if only we just operated in this perfect way, the world is going to be fine. The world is actually an incredibly dangerous place, and what's more, it requires real leadership to make the difficult decisions that sometimes have to be made. And at the end of the very, very long blog, I quote Vernon Bognador, as you know, is an academic and a constitutional expert, and he just makes the point that hindsight actually is something that we apply when these inquiries happen, but only Tony Blair, in terms of the British government, was really in those shoes where he had to make that decision. And Vernon says, you know, we should all just be thankful we don't have to make those decisions. Having watched how he made that decision, I do feel compelled to rebut this notion either that he was cavalier, or that he didn't take care with the decision, or that he didn't care about the troops, or that he was only doing it because George Bush wanted him to, or any of the other conspiracy theories. I think it's important that people talk about trust, and of course, as Tony said at the press conference, if you have people saying you lied over intelligence again and again and again and again, of course trust gets eroded. That's why I think it is important that I repeat.
Okay.
I've now been through four inquiries, and the main accusations made about the doctrine of intelligence have been rejected every single time.
Just finally, and very briefly, if you would, is there anything that you think that you personally have got to apologise for in this whole saga?
It's an apology I've already made, which was actually to my family, because of the way that things developed with them. But look, you've got to remember, Ian, I was not the Deputy Prime Minister, as I sometimes got called. I was his spokesman. I was his Director of Communications and Strategy. One of the things I was most impressed about by Tony today is that for all the criticism that's directed at intelligence services, for all the criticism that's directed at soldiers in the inquiry, ultimately, the people who were working for him were working for him, and they were his decisions. Now, the one thing, and the other thing, this idea that Jonathan Powell, myself, David Manning, and others, that we didn't challenge Tony Blair the whole time, we did.
Well, you did more than the Cabinet did then, because that is one thing quite clear from the Chilcott report, that the Cabinet really didn't challenge Tony Blair enough. We have to leave it there, Alistair, I'm afraid.
You had resignations from the Cabinet.
Yeah, but what about all the others? They didn't seem to... They didn't challenge the intelligence, they didn't challenge the legal advice, they just sat there, apparently. That's according to Chilcott. It's not me saying that, that's what Chilcott said.
No, and also let me defend them. When the Attorney General went to the Cabinet, I can understand, I say this in the blog, I can understand some people might think it odd that the Cabinet didn't grill him. The Attorney General is the government lawyer, and I know from that time that some people, myself included, I never actually spoke to the Attorney General during that time because I could sense that there would be political problems down the track if anybody did. And I think that's what ministers felt, that they just had to sit there and listen.